Matt knew that nothing technological was completely random. When a computer program created a random number, it needed a seed number to start from, a number on which it performed some calculation to generate an apparently random result. That seed number was often taken from the computer's clock. So if you knew the exact time the program instruction was run, then in theory, you could work out the result, which was cheating so far as Matt was concerned. If you could predict it, then it wasn't truly random. Not like the way the air molecules moved when the wind blew, or the drops in the ocean were affected by the tides and currents. His thoughts were interrupted by Catherine's return. "There's no one about," she said, "so I can give you a quick tour. Come on." It was indeed an impressive facility. It was hard to believe that Matt was inside an ancient stone pyramid in the middle of the South American jungle. The computer suite must occupy most of the floor, apart from the narrow passage from the lift to the doors. It stretched almost out of sight. Lines and lines of computer system units, racks of circuit boards and memory arrays. Matt could not hear any noise from outside, so he guessed it was soundproofed. Certainly, from the blast of cool air as he stepped through the doors, it was air-conditioned. The hum of the ventilation added to the sound of the computers. Along one wall was a line of desks, plain, pale wooden office furniture, with computer screens on them. A stylized letter H twisted and turned and spun and spiraled on each screen, apparently at random, but in fact following the directions of a program which Matt knew was anything but. "Impressive," he said. "Yes," Catherine agreed. "Mr. Harper likes to do things properly." "So I see. Have you worked for him for long?" Matt wondered. "One of his companies sponsored me through university," Catherine told him. "My parents could never have afforded it, and I was lucky enough to get onto the sponsorship scheme Harper was running. I didn't think Mr. Harper would know who I was, but when I got my degree, he sent me a personal letter asking me to come and work for him."
"Perhaps he does that with all the students he sponsors," Matt suggested.
She smiled thinly, not amused. "They don't all get a double first. He offered me a job and here I am."
"You owe him a lot then," Matt said.
"I suppose he made me what I am."
She started walking down one of the aisles between the rows of equipment, the subject evidently closed.
"I gather you know something about computers, so let me show you round."
She led him between banks of servers and disk drives, explaining which machines serviced which of Harper's industries and connected to which continents.
"Do you have a lot of systems programmers and stuff?" Matt wondered.
Even though everything was running smoothly on its own, he knew it was a lot of work to keep systems up to date and install new software and so on.
"A few. Mostly it's done remotely. Our technical people access the system from wherever they happen to be on high-speed access lines. There's a microwave link through the rainforest, as there are no phone lines, but we have a few hardware engineers here in case of failures. And our chief technical executive is here too, with an office on another floor."
"He must have his work cut out for him," Matt said.
"I'm sure you're right," Catherine said. "They're new, but settling in well.